Revelation chapter 1. Wednesday nights, our adult study group is going through the book of Revelation, and we've been in it close to a year now, and we are just in chapter 9. Look at me in chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, book of Revelation. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Blessed is the one who reads it aloud. So in our studies, I've been the one doing the reading. So I want the blessing. But then I came across the second part. Look back at it. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear. So then I call on other people to read too, and I can just hear and be blessed. But there's more. Look back at it. There's a third part. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. We must read and hear the prophecy, but we must also keep what is written. We must have what is written as part of us and cling to it and hold on to it and keep it before us always. And we must do this with urgency because the time is near. If we read and hear and keep this prophecy and treat it with the urgency in which it brings with it, then we will be blessed. Last year I was talking to Ross about the book of Revelation, and he asked me, what is the blessing? And I'm sure I said something very profound and biblical, but I can't quite remember. But that's what I want to do today. I want to share with you what the blessing is. And there are many reasons for blessings in this book, but I want to bring to light one of the most significant, if not the most significant, blessing in this book. And I think blessing of all. Be sure to keep your fingers here and turn with me to Psalm 37, page number 466 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 37 is the psalm we were in last week. And this message is purposely on the heels of last week's message. So if you haven't heard last week's message, I would suggest you go online and listen to it. And that holds true for any message. They're all online. And if you can't get online, ask us, and we will gladly give you copies on CD. Last week we read this psalm and considered the reality of our reaction to evil. Let's read verses 1 through 17 again. This is the word of God. Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. But their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Evil is all around us, and God's purpose for us is to live and proclaim the gospel in an evil world. We are to be the salt of the earth, the light in the darkness, the truth in deception. We are to faithfully follow Jesus as we are surrounded by evil. And we must be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. The only way we can endure evil while we are still before the Lord and waiting patiently on Him is to know and believe what God has planned for us. We must know and believe what our future is. We must know and believe what our destiny is. We must know and believe the hope we have in Christ. The book of Revelation gives revelation of our future hope, and it's all about Christ. Flip back to chapter 1 of Revelation. Again, that's page 1028. Revelation 1028. And this time, let's read the context of the blessing we just read about a little bit ago. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. The revelation of Jesus Christ to show what must soon take place. Why is this a blessing book? Because it's all about Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus, yes, and it is about the hope we have in him. It's the hope we have in Christ. This is a blessing book because it's about God making things right. Listen now, the book of Revelation not only reveals the glory of Christ, it also reveals God's plan. And it brings into focus his sovereignty. God is in control. Evil will be cut off. The meek will inherit the land. And we will delight ourselves in abundant peace. Our Revelation class has shrunk down to 7. But those in the study understand the blessing. And the purpose of this message is to bring the experience of that blessing to you. Let's pray together. Father, you have promised a blessing to those who read aloud and those who hear and those that keep the words of this prophecy. May we be those people, Father. May we be readers of your word and hearers of your word and keepers of your word. May they be part of us. May your word be embedded in us, intertwined in us. May your word be ever forefront of our minds and our hearts. We thank you for your word now, and I pray you do a wonderful work through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Find your way to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. When I was a kid, even a very young child, I hated true and false questions on tests. Yes, I know you have a 50-50 chance of getting it right, but I hated them. Things like true or false, grass is green. True or false, eggs come from chickens. The reason I agonize is because the statement that grass is green is not true, absolutely. It is not absolutely true that grass is green. What about bluegrass? What about the middle of a hot summer when it's brown and crunchy and in my front yard? What about in the winter when it is dormant? So what do I put down for an answer? Eggs come from chickens is not really a true statement if I'm looking at a powder blue egg of a robin in a nest. All eggs do not come from chickens, and not all chickens lay eggs. I've never seen our rooster lay one yet, and our rooster is a chicken. I agonized over these types of questions until I realized that whoever was writing the questions did not treat these things the same way I do. Not many people probably do. I need more detail. I need terms defined. But detail and definitions didn't seem to matter to them. They were shooting for a truth that was relative. Grass is green. True, relatively speaking. Properly watered fescue grass that is healthy and growing when viewed with a white light without the hindrance of a colored filter is green and will appear to be as well to anyone with at least one healthy eye. Yes, that's me. True. One of the reasons I love the Word of God is because it is pure truth. Listen now, God gives us absolute truths in His Word. In all of Scripture, the entirety of Scripture gives us definitions and details and examples which support and uphold absolutes. The blessing of the book of Revelation is at least about one absolute. Truth pointed by all of Scripture to one absolute. Bear with me as we get to it, or you can just peek at the title of the message and find it right away. I want to start with a couple of blessings. The book of Revelation is a blessing book because it gives us, one, details of the judgment of God and His wrath against evil. The book of Revelation is a blessing because it, too, gives us detail of our future glory. Let's start with evil. Throughout Scripture, God warns of a coming judgment against evil and sin. He tells us not to fret. He tells us evil will be cut off. And He tells us we, the meek, His people, will inherit the land. Yes, you tell me that, God, but you don't tell me when. And He doesn't. But He does tell us how. He does tell us how. Look with me at chapter 9. I chose this passage because this is where we are on Wednesday nights. This is the first woe within the fifth trumpet within the seventh seal. And you don't have to understand what that means other than the reality that there has been a lot going on already. And this is now in the great tribulation period. The earth has already experienced many, many catastrophic occurrences. God does not tell us when, but He does tell us how unrepented sinners will be judged. Watch now as we see the literal truth of all hell breaking loose upon earth. Revelation 9, starting in verse 1. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star falling from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Jesus will give Satan the key to hell, and it will be opened. And all the nastiest demons that have been locked up in there over history will be let loose. And they will be like locusts out to devour. They will torment anyone without the seal of God. And they will inflict pain like the sting of a scorpion. For 5 months, the unrepentant sinners on the earth will be in excruciating pain, and they will desire to die. They will seek to die, but they will not find death. There will be no gun, no noose, there will be no razor blade, no window ledge, nothing to bring them the relief they seek. Death will flee from them, and they will suffer the judgment of God. Look at verse 12. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. Listen now, this is but a small taste of the judgment of God. There are seven seals, there are seven trumpets with three woes, and there are seven bowls of judgment recorded for us. There are also seven thunders that weren't recorded for us. This is but a small taste. And here are two reactions I see we have, should have, to this truth. Reaction number one is, this enables us to wait patiently. This enables us to wait patiently. God will judge evil. God will cut off evil. God will do what he says. This should satisfy us. The second thing then is this should humble us. But for the grace of God, this would be us going through this. Revelation is a blessing book because it gives us details of the coming judgment of evil. The second reason it's a blessing is because it gives us details of our future. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Just as that was a small taste of judgment of evil, this is a small taste of our future glory. And this is an absolute truth to embrace. Revelation 21, starting in verse 1 through verse 7. It's the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This book blesses because God reveals our future in detail. Okay, let's start getting to the real point. The book of Revelation is a blessing if we read, hear, and keep the prophecies because it all points to the absolute truth of the absolute worthiness of Jesus Christ. Listen now, truth is not dependent on us to believe it for it to be true. If we don't believe truth, we are deceived and we are believing lies instead. It's that simple. The tricky part is understanding deception. And this is where we have to be careful. Deception, by its nature, does not allow us to know that what we are believing is a lie instead of the truth. Something like this made-up scenario. The truth is there is a truck coming down the hill and there has no brakes. The truth is anyone standing in the road will be killed. Deception says everything is okay. You can walk across the street. The truth is you can see the truck coming and it is going way too fast to stop. But deception says everything's okay. There is a stop sign. He'll stop. Truth says, bang, you're dead. The book of Revelation is the truck of truth that hits the deceived. It reveals the time when everything that is true will become everyone's reality. And the number one reality, the number one truck-hitting truth, the number one realization of truth everyone will experience is the absolute worthiness of Jesus Christ. The question before us is this: do we realize this now? Or are we deceived and we will realize it then when the truck hits us and it's too late? Turn to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to read this together and we're going to find three realizations that point to the worthiness of God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. This is the word of God. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives for and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." The first realization that hits us like a rock, if we don't already believe, is that God is God. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the great, almighty creator of all things, and there is none like him. He is holy, holy, holy. God is worthy because he is God. This is absolute truth. He created all things by his will. I only exist because he created me. Absolute worthiness. But for the will of God, nothing would exist. Let's move on to chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, and a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Let's pause here. The scroll in the right hand of God is the title deed to the earth. It contains the righteous judgment of God upon all created things. The scroll is the manner in which God will make everything right. In his right hand. His right hand, the power hand, he controls it. Moving on to verse 2. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. A mighty angel proclaimed, Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And the realization was that no one was worthy. No one in heaven and no one on earth, no one under the earth was found worthy to open the scroll or even look into it. And we don't have to imagine John's reaction. He began to weep loudly. John knew that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John knew that from the garden until this moment, that evil was on the earth. And the earth was screaming out for redemption. John knew that in the right hand of God was the document that would make everything right. The scroll was the document that would stop babies from being murdered. The scroll was the document that would remove death from the earth. The scroll was the document that would cut off evil, give us a redeemed earth and abundant peace. The scroll was the document that would bring in the age that we've all longed for. The scroll was the document that no one was found worthy to open. And John wept loudly. No one is worthy to open it. Death and sin and evil is the victory. John was overtaken by the weight of what was at stake, and he wept. But hold on, there is more. There is verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Why was the lamb who was slain able to take the scroll? Look back at verse 5. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. Has conquered so that he can open the scroll." The second realization that will hit us like a truck if we don't already believe it is that Jesus is the Lion. Jesus is the Christ. He is the chosen one of God. He is the promised one of God. He has conquered. He has had victory. He has defeated sin and death. Absolute worthiness. Jesus has conquered. Let's read and find the third realization. Verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." The third realization that will hit us like a truck if we don't already believe it is God's Son died bleeding for us, that we may live with God forever. Brothers and sisters, the book of Revelation blesses us because it reveals the absolute truth of the absolute worthiness of our God. The statement, "grass is green," is a relative truth. Jesus Christ is worthy is an absolute truth. There is nothing that contradicts that reality because he is worthy of everything from everyone. If we stand before the worthy one, if we are in the presence of the one who is worthy, then we will have no crowns of accomplishments. We will cast our crowns before him, fall on our faces, and proclaim that he only is worthy. In his power and in his will, he created all things. In his power and his will, he conquered sin. He was slain, he was raised again, and he defeated death. He is worthy to take the scroll. He is worthy to break its seals, and in all of his power and all of his glory, he is coming again. The pinnacle of truth is leading us here. The truth of all of Scripture points to this absolute truth: Jesus Christ is worthy. Everyone will. Everyone will. Every being ever created will profess the worthiness of Christ. Listen now, brothers and sisters, and hear this well. If you want to experience the blessing in the book of Revelation, listen to this. Knowing and believing the revealed worthiness of Jesus Christ is a blessing. However, the most significant blessing is not the knowledge and the belief. When our minds are transformed by the absolute truth of the worthiness of God, when our hearts are touched by the absolute truth of the worthiness of God, then the most significant blessing is the worship certain to follow. The more we understand, know, and believe in the worthiness of Christ, the deeper our worship will be. To be sure, when we get to the time of this prophecy, that which is dim will become fully known as we see him face to face. And the absolute truth of God's worthiness will become our reality completely, and we will worship and praise like never before. but the blessing is offered to us now as well, to know him deeper and to worship his worthiness. Look at verse 11, and we'll be done. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Let's pray together. Father, your word says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the prophecy, the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." Father, I pray that for us, for your people, the book of Revelation is not this scary place to be, but a blessing to be. May you draw us more into it to read about your wrath, to read about your judgment, but more than that, to read about your mercy and your grace that you have given us. And Father, even beyond that, that we may read about the worthiness of Christ, that we may come to a place in our lives, Father, where our worship comes from our heart, where our worship comes from our heart and it comes out our mouths, and we praise and we thank you for who you are. More than that, though, Father, I pray that this worship that comes from our heart comes out in our lives, that we would be in worship 24 hours a day, worshiping you with our time and our lives. So, Father, I pray that your word does amazing things in our lives in the power of your Holy Spirit and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.